Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. I am glad you are here and thank you for setting aside these minutes to be with us. When we left off last time, we were talking about a prolepsis. A what? You didn't realize this was a program about medicine and we were going to talk about doing a prolepsis, did you? Well, fear not. A prolepsis is not a medical procedure. A prolepsis is used in rhetoric. Prolepsis is the representation of something as existing before it actually does or did so exist. Prolepsis is the representation of something as existing before it actually does or did so exist. These are somewhat common in the scripture. In the Hebrew scriptures, Moses uses a prolepsis twice early on in Genesis, once in chapter 11 and once in chapter 12. In Genesis 11, verse 31, he writes, "Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan." That was Genesis 11:31. In this verse, Moses indicates that Abram knew he was going to the land of Canaan when he set out from Ur of the Chaldeans. But that is not what Moses means. He is using a prolepsis, naming Canaan as the place Abraham was going before Abraham knew it was the place he was going. Hebrews 11, verse 8 tells us that Abram did not know where he was going when he left Ur and later Haran. But Moses uses a prolepsis to tell us, the reader, early about Canaan. Because Moses knows, writing Genesis much later after the events of Genesis had already taken place, Moses knows that God's will is for Abram to go to Canaan. And Canaan, of course, plays a large role in the part of the story of the Hebrew people from their beginning until their end. When Abram and his family left Ur and Haran, they did not know they were going to Canaan. They followed God by faith. But the prolepsis allows us to know. That's the point. As I alluded to, Moses does this again in Genesis chapter 12. I want you to hear this. In Genesis 12, verse 8, Moses writes, "Then Abram proceeded from there to the mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord." At this time, Bethel was actually called Luz. But the author Moses uses a prolepsis and tells us ahead of time that this location is Bethel. Over in the 28th chapter of Genesis in verse 19, we read this, Genesis chapter 28, verse 19, "Jacob called the name of that place Bethel. However, previously the name of the city had been Luz." You see, Bethel was Luz until Genesis 28, but we are told about Luz being called Bethel in Genesis chapter 12. That was because Moses again used a prolepsis. I trust that learning about a prolepsis and seeing it used in the Bible will help you to understand how Genesis 11 verse 31 goes perfectly well together with Hebrews 11 verse 8, which says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going." And do not let the bigger picture point get lost. Abram, leaving the home comforts of Ur and later Haran, where he waited for his father to die and where he would bury Terah, Abram left there not knowing where he was going, and he followed God, walking with the Lord in safety by faith. Okay, now that we have connected what was said last week to this still fresh week, we are ready to tackle verses 1 through 3 of Genesis chapter 12. So let me read the text for us. If you have your Bible handy, open it to Genesis 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." We have heard God call to Abram, and in verse 1 the Lord says, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you." As we have said, in this verse God calls and commands Abram to take action, to give up everything, to go so far as to change his identity from Abram, his own man, to Abram, the man of God. In the words of Jesus in the Gospels, it is as if Almighty God appeared to Abram and said, "Follow me." And later in verse 4, we learned that Abram did go. He gave up his life in Ur and in Haran and his worship of the false gods to follow the one true God to Canaan. And this was not an easy thing to do. Let's hear from our friend Robert Harbash from Studies in the Book of Genesis. Quote, "It was not easy for Abram to do this. The people of the Middle East always were deeply rooted in their native soils and still do cling with the greatest tenacity to their own lands and homes. The Mesopotamians hated the thought of crossing the Euphrates or Tigris rivers. A journey of 200 or 300 miles was somewhat like dying. Misery for them was to be out of one's country." End quote. But that is always the way it is with God. All of us who worship Him, we have to give up our lives. There is always a steep cost to our discipleship, a price to pay. And yes, sometimes that cost involves leaving where we are, abandoning house and home for the living God. That could be to live local, but to separate from those in our very own country and family, even in our Father's house, those who refuse to bow and worship to the God. Or our sacrifice may be to move very far away as a missionary. In that sense, leaving our home country, our relatives, and our father's house for foreign lands as God's light in the dark world. Whatever the details for each individual may be, there is always a lot to give up to follow God. That is true. But I want you to notice something at the start of our discussion of verses 2 and 3, and that is all that Abram received in return by way of promise. Yes, the Lord commanded Abram to sacrifice, but then give ear to all the blessings he would experience. I count 7. In verse 2 are the first 4 blessings. The first blessing, "I will make you a great nation." The second blessing, "I will bless you." The third blessing, "I will make your name great." And the fourth blessing, "So you shall be a blessing." God has 7 blessings in store for Abram, and in Genesis 12, verse 3, here arrive the next 3. The 5th blessing, "I will bless those who bless you." The 6th blessing, "The one who curses you, I will curse." And the 7th blessing, "In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." For all that Abram gave up to obey the command of God in his life, wow, listen and read for yourself all that Abram received from the living God. Let me quote W.H. Griffith Thomas. "God never places burdens on his people's shoulders without giving them the power to respond. God's biddings are his enablings." God encouraged Abram with a threefold promise, a land, a seed, a worldwide blessing. Well, hear that again. God's biddings are his enablings. We will get into some of the details of each blessing, but I think it is valuable to pause and think about this. God gave Abram one command, but seven blessings. What do you think of that ratio? How do you like that? When God commands us, when he graciously makes the effective call, and we obey him, well, we get so much more in return. I dare say there is not a one of you who actively follow Christ at this moment, not one of you who is a genuine disciple of the Lord Jesus who will disagree with me. Whatever we have given up to follow Christ our Lord is more than made up for by what we have gained from him in return. We are so blessed. Tomorrow, I'm going to suggest to you what we have gained the most, what Abram gained the most in this covenant with God. But as we near the end of our time for today, I encourage you and me both to count up all of our blessings in Jesus. One of my favorite songs we sang in church when I was a kid was this, "Count Your Blessings." Do you know it? When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. I love that. Abram could count his blessings, and so can you. Count them, and then join us again tomorrow for God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.